Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
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 Oh, everyone sounds a lot clearer.
Yes, it does, yeah.
Oh, God, that especially you. Yeah.
We're live now, aren't we?
You what, Dave?
We're live.
Are we?
Yeah, we're live. Let's just get on.
Oh, okay. Can you all hear us? Can you hear us in the chat room? Just give us a yay. Hello?
I can hear you, Jess.
Yeah. I'm just...
Claude's just said she can hear me, so they must be able to hear us.
Lee said no. Oh, there you are.
Can you hear me?
Hello! I think they can hear us now. So I'm gonna carry on with the show. Sorry, if you can hear us, we are running a little bit late, as you can tell. It's now 6 minutes past 9. We're due to start at 9. Have we not got Sue with us yet?
No, she can't hear us.
Okay. Just bear with us a sec, folks. Try not to, Lee.
I'm back. Hello.
Good evening.
Hey, guys.
Hello?
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 Hello? Sue?
I can hear you, Sue.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you both,
Okay. Well, let's let's carry on, and we'll hopefully get Sue to join us in a little while. I'm sorry about all the gremlins, everybody. It's the usual Tuesday night gremlins coming from the UK. We were supposed to be starting at 9, but obviously it's now 10 past 9, so very, very sorry about that. And thanks for being really, really patient for us in the chat room. So hello and welcome to you all, and welcome to Tuesday's Dusk Till Dawn Radio. The radio talk show about anything and everything that's paranormal. As some of you know, or some of you may not know, my name is Jessica, and I'm your host for tonight's show. I run Dusk Till Dawn Events, which is a ghost hunting company, and we provide overnight ghost hunts to the public at the most haunted of locations across the UK. Dusk Till Dawn Radio is a paranormal talk show, and we're coming to you live with the Gremlins, from the UK every Tuesday, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. And here we'll be discussing a multitude of paranormal subjects. So I hope you can all stay with us and bear with us if we do continue to have gremlins, which I think we probably will do tonight. I don't know why, but that's just the way it goes, I guess. But as always, we'd love to hear from all of you. To ask any of the team that will hopefully be with us tonight anything at all about the spirit world. I'm sure we'll all do our best to answer any questions you have. Whatever it is, come and join us on Dusk Till Dawn Radio. We'd love to talk to you all, as you all know. So you can call us on 0115 714 1910 if you're calling from the UK. Can they still hear us? Can you still hear us, everybody?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Can hear you, Sue.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I've changed the headset. There must be a problem with the other headset.
That's nice and clear. Can you all hear us in the chat room? Can you just tell us? Hello? I'm not sure if they can hear us.
They should be able to because the phone line's okay.
Yep. Lavender Wolf says, I hear you. Okay, brilliant. So let's just continue. Let's give you that again. If you're in the UK, you can join us live on air. Just add Dusk Till Dawn Radio onto Skype. Call us and we'll add you live into the show. Or you can call us on 6196 394 606 if you're calling from the USA. Call us up and we'll have a good old chat with you live on air. Or if you prefer, you can just ask any questions or talk to us from the chat room, as lots of you do most weeks. So that would be brilliant. Now, joining me tonight...
Sorry.
We hear you.
Hello.
Are we back?
Hello. I think we're back.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's one of the...
Jess, you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, everyone's here.
It's going
on. Hey. I've got some feedback every time I talk, but let's say hello to Nathan, my husband Nathan.
Hello, Nathan.
Hello. I keep bouncing in and out, so hello.
That's okay. And then we've got medium and angel lady Sue Trainer. Hi, Sue.
Hello, everybody. Sorry about the problems earlier.
And we're also joined by medium Sue Ingleby. Hi, Sue.
Hi, you, Jess.
Hi,
everyone.
And medium Andy Ridgard. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Jess. Hi, everyone.
And I know that we've got Andy's wife, Sarah, listening in, and I don't know if she can talk, but hi, Sarah. Hello.
Hello.
Have we got Reagan with us tonight, or is that a little bit too risky to bring Reagan on tonight?
Well, I thought I could hear her moving about in the background somewhere. I don't know. What if ask her if she's there?
Are you with us, Reagan?
Can they hear us?
I think they can.
I've lost the call.
Can you hear us, everyone?
I can't. I've got no access to the switchboard.
Oh, God.
I'm going to have to call. I'm going to have to ring back. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
I cannot believe the gremlins that we're having tonight, everyone. I'm so sorry, so apologetic for this. I don't know if it's Skype. I don't know if it's Blog Talk. I don't know if it's just the internet connection that we've got. But we're going to try our best anyway and just keep soldiering on with this. I think we've back with Apple. Are you there, Jen?
I'm here. Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay, I cannot access Blog Talk.
Every time you speak or every time I do, I've got a double voice.
They shouldn't be able to. Can you check in the chat room? They can hear us.
Yeah, they said that they can hear us.
Well, I don't know how because I can't. I've called in and Blog Talk isn't working.
Let's get it off the
They're getting an echo as well.
Huh?
They're getting an echo.
I don't know what's going on.
Claude said it's gone now. Completely. Oh,
yeah, but I can't access the switchboard there. That's the problem. So I can't play any music. I can't do any of that.
Right.
Okay. Well, we'll do what we can.
We'll do what we can.
So, where were we? So we've said hello to everybody and hello to everybody out in the chat room there. It's turning out to be one of those nights.
I'm a hell of a night.
So, yeah, but never mind. Anyway, let's crack on.
Actually, I think we're okay now.
Are we okay?
I think so, because we'll just have to check if Reagan... Yes. It was Reagan messing with it, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, God. that pesky little madam.
Yeah, she's terrible, isn't she?
Cheers.
Not cockles. <Okay. laughs> Someone cut him off, for God's sake.
It burns!
Yeah, well, stop being so naughty, then we're going to chuck the holy water on you. Right, carry on then, Jess.
So I was going to say, give us a rundown on your busy paranormal schedule of this weekend that's gone.
Okay, well, it was very busy this weekend, probably one of the busiest I've had in a long time. Certainly felt my age on Sunday anyway, I can tell you that much. On Friday night, the 15th, we were at the Heritage Warehouse in Liverpool. And you were there, of course, Jess. And, oh, my God, what a night that was. The last time we were there, Michael and I were there with Derek Okora last October. And it was such a fantastic place. I suggested it to yourself, as you know. Another ghost hunt, and we went along. And I think, actually, had some of the best activity I've probably seen. You know, it's up there in the top 10 anyway, isn't it? We're actually standing around the table tipping, some of the guests were, and, you know, you say, can you knock on the table for us? And it actually sounded like someone made a fist and rapped on top of the table.
Okay.
Sometimes. It wasn't, you know, normally you'll get just a knock underneath, won't you, Jess? But we did a big bang on the top. And then the other thing that really impressed me was we actually heard direct voice. And I think most people in the group heard it. We're in the area that was once used as a morgue. And we called out, you know, if you don't want us here, let us know. You know, tell us if you don't want us here. Would you like us to leave? And this voice just said, yes.
Spooky.
Really creepy. Yeah. And we thought maybe it was, you know, the wind or the rain. But we couldn't recreate it, could we?
No, we couldn't.
Again. And then we had lots of shapes, big black shapes moving around and noises, and it was really very spooky. Have I missed anything out, Jess? I can't remember these.
Well, and at the very end, we all went up to the very top of the building, didn't we, for the final group vigil. And we made two circles, an inner circle and an outer circle. And one of the girls fell really poorly, quite faint and sick. So I went and sat out with her, and you guys that were in the circle could smell a smell of burning, couldn't you? Can you remember that?
Mm. Yes, yeah. It was just like fireworks, actually.
Mm, what
sort of smoke smell. It was more of a firework, sulfury smell, really.
Mm. And then it actually wafted over to us as well, which was strange. Mm. So we caught a little bit of it as well. So that's really, really weird. But it was very, very eerie, wasn't it, up there? I thought, you know, as time went on, it was almost like waiting for something absolutely massive to happen. I think it would have done if we'd had more time to stay. I think something definitely was kicking off there. So that was quite freaky, but a very, very fascinating place. And Lee said, we're gutted we missed that. We couldn't make it due to work commitments.
Well, we're doing it. Yeah, I was going to say, we're doing it again.
We're doing it all again. We're back in October there, Lee, if you fancy coming along. So
you would love it there, Lee. You really would, honestly. Because I know the sort of stuff that Lee likes. We had quite a lot of good pictures there as well, didn't we? That was it. When we were going on the walk round, we actually all saw a green orb. Not on a photograph. I mean, with the naked eye, we saw it fly past us in the morgue as well. That was quite exciting.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah.
So we had all that on Friday and then off to Woodchester Mansion on Saturday.
Yes.
It was a spooky night, you know. One of my favourite places, one of the spookiest places in the country, probably. And we had some really good table tipping action there. We had the table spinning round on one leg. If anyone's on the Facebook group, I think you can see a video of that, can't you? And if you're not, join Dustal Dawn Events. And then
Facebook.
You get. And I think one of the ladies there, Sammy, got an EVP of a woman's head.
She did. I can post that in the chat room, you know. Shall I do that?
Yeah, so they can listen. Because the really weird thing was, earlier on in the night, I'd heard that exactly the same thing, but somewhere else.
Did you?
Yeah, but the best thing about Woodchester that night was we were standing in the passageway downstairs. There's a massive big old stone framed mirror. In the hallway, and I'd got everyone standing in a semicircle around that, basically trying to see if we could see anything in the mirror. And Michael's group were sort of round the corner at the other end of the corridor, and I could see all these sort of, we heard these footsteps and saw these torch lights coming towards us. And to be honest, I was a little bit irritated. I thought, well, Michael's let some of his group wander off, you know. Anyway, they disappeared down the cellar. A couple of minutes later, I saw another torchlight coming down and footsteps, and I thought, I've had enough of this. So I said to the group, I'll be back in a minute. And went around the corner, and it was Michael. I said, what are you doing letting your group wander off, you know? And he said, did you see those two people go down the cellar? And I said, well, yes, I did. Thought they were from your group. And he said, no, they weren't. And we went and looked, and there was no one down there.
Wow. Good grief.
Michael's group had actually seen two figures walking. We only heard them and saw the lights. So that was, and it made me think, is it the American Airs? And, you know, weren't there?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
So that was good. We had a little bit of table tipping in the chapel area. The bathroom, as usual, we got some good lights and things in there. So it was a pretty good night. So quite an active weekend, really. But of course, we're coming up to the full moon, weren't we?
Oh yes. You think that would have had a bearing on it then, Sue, that
It's hard to say. I suppose what we should do really is keep a record of these things, shouldn't we? But it may have. We'll have to start keeping a record of the moon phases when we visit, won't we?
Yeah, that would be a good idea, yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, Sue Ingleby, have you had a good weekend and week so far?
It's been a very nice weekend. It was a quiet weekend. Spent with friends and family. It was an interesting evening on Friday because I actually spent time with Andy and Sarah in their little group. And we had some interesting stuff happening with the Ouija board and the table. First time that we'd come together as a group. And it was quite interesting because the table was actually vibrating, and the table is quite a heavy table.
Oh, brilliant.
It's not one that you could easily move about or anything, and the table itself was actually vibrating quite a lot. Most of the people standing around the table actually felt it vibrating at one point or another. And the Ouija board was Well, it's interesting. It was interesting. Let's say that we didn't get much information out of it, but it was moving, and then it would stop and get stuck, and then it would you 1 minute you would feel the energy in the Ouija board, and the next minute you would feel it all go away, and the planchette itself would actually stick, and it just would not move. It was solid. Very strange indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the weekend has been family.
Yeah.
Which is always nice. Yeah.
Yeah, lovely. And Andy, you did all that at your house, didn't you?
Yeah, we did on the Friday. And it was a really good night. Like Sue said, first time we come together as a group. And it was interesting. I think because of some of the people that were there, some of the energies were a bit heavy. And we felt like Sue, myself and Sarah were having to put all our energy into doing it, which was then making us tired.
Mm.
You know, we were sort of having to put more in as such to make up for the others that weren't putting as much in. But it was a good night. We, you know, we had some good stuff.
Excellent.
And then before that, we had some lovely people pop in for about 10 minutes as well.
Could you? Who was that?
Well, the cakes and stuff, you see, and, you know, before the long journey.
Oh, did they?
Is that one of all the cakes?
Yeah.
That's it.
We've still got the sponge, actually, Andrew. Michael's working his way through it. Because I've had a little piece. My mum had a little piece, and he's hogged the rest. He won't let anyone else touch it. It was really nice. And I did make cupcakes, but I hear they were very good. Weren't they, Nate?
Yeah.
I didn't have any either. They smelled absolutely gorgeous.
Mm.
But I didn't have any.
It was a good night.
Brilliant. Have we had any ghostly personal experiences this week? You know, not ghost hunting, but in your own homes, any of us this week?
I'm trying to think. I don't think I have actually this week.
We did this morning, about 20 past three this morning it was. We were both woke up by an empty yoghurt pot and spoon being knocked onto the floor by Sarah's side of the bed.
Oh.
At sort of 3:20 this morning it was, and it woke us up.
Really?
It wasn't on the edge. It was sort of pushed back on the bedside table, but that was knocked onto the floor and went with quite a loud bang. You know, like I say, it woke us up.
Did it?
So, that's the only thing.
One of the things I actually noticed, but I mean, he does it all the time, is our cat looks at something up on the ceiling that we can't see.
Hmm.
And my niece came over today with her little boy, who's only a few weeks old, and he was looking in the same place.
Really?
Ooh.
That's strange.
Yeah.
Well, they say that animals are very sensitive, don't they? And obviously children, so... Maybe they're seeing something down there.
Maybe that's what's the matter with Percy. Maybe he's possessed, my cat, you know. Maybe that's why I'm so vicious. You know.
You'll have to post a picture of Percy in the chat room, Sue, so everybody can have a good look at him.
Yeah.
He's a crazy little cat. He's beautiful, but he's full of beans, isn't he, Sue?
He's vicious. That's the word.
He's beautiful. Definitely.
Actually, yeah, there is one more thing we get quite a lot. At the moment, we've noticed when we're in bed, me and Sarah, we usually have the bedroom door open so the kids can come in if they want. But we've noticed when the kids have all gone to bed and nobody's up, it's almost like you see a little face poke the head round the door to look in at us.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
like a child?
Yeah, and also we don't actually see them, but you get a quick blurring movement of them running into the bedroom.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, so we've noticed that a lot lately.
Mm. Well, that could be a child then that moved the yoghurt pot then in the night, maybe, do you think?
It could be. It could be. It's definitely a child.
Mm. Yeah, so. Wow. Well, you know, I have the usual man going backwards and forwards in the hallway, just in the doorway. Mm. I've seen that a couple of times this week when I've just been sat watching telly. And it can't be coincidence because it happens so often.
Mm.
You know, just out the corner of my eye, this blur just passes, a very tall man. And One day this week, I was sat on my computer in the room that I am now, just working, and I heard right behind me, and it was a male. It was a male breath. You could tell it was male. So yeah, I've had that.
Must
this
be
week.
Horrible
so that,
there. That, you know, because you don't know when you're going to hear it, do you? You know.
Well, I don't think I hear a lot. But I have to have been. I don't know, it must be the right time at the right moment with me. But just at that, and it was right behind me, you know how you get the feeling of the hairs stood up on the back of your neck? That kind of, you know, somebody's quite close. It was like that kind of feeling. But it frightened me a little bit, but then I soon forgot about it. But I just think there's definitely something here. So that's our... Nathan, have you had any ghostly experiences apart from sleeping with me at night?
No. not this
short
week.
Short and sweet.
No, I've had nothing this week. I filmed the table tipping, which I'll post into the chat room in a short while at Stanley Dogs. But then, unfortunately, after that, I had to take a nap for the drive back.
Yeah, so you didn't see much, did you? But yeah, it was a great location. I've been trawling the net. And I've been looking for some paranormal news from here in the UK this week, and I managed to find something. It's a pub called the Wolf Pub in Little Dock Ray in Cumbria, and they've caught in a bizarre 35-second sequence recorded by a CCTV camera in the dead of night at the pub. A ball of light is seen descending through the ceiling, its outline pulsating as it moves around. I don't know if any of you lot have seen this, have you?
I haven't seen that report, but I've seen.
Have you not?
I've seen a ball of light like that, and that's what they've got at the Ramy.
Is it? Well, at one point, part of the shape appears to reach out and move rapidly just above a table as if it's polishing it. And it used to be an old funeral parlour, this pub. It's a pub now, but it was the Cumbrian funeral parlour.
Right.
So it just makes you think, doesn't it? You know.
Certainly does.
Is something still there? And the pub landlord, Andrew Bateman, who's 38, was staggered when he saw the images. And he mentioned the footage to staff at the Thomas Cook travel agents next door, and they found that they too had captured weird goings on their CCTV camera as well. And I think the two buildings being so close together must have been part of the funeral parlour together. So that's quite interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah. But all these things, all these spooky things.
Well, I was reading. I had a quick look. I can't find the website now because of the problems we had. I had to close the computer down. I've lost it now. But another piece of paranormal. Well, it's not really paranormal, I suppose. But it's news this week. Was a policeman in the Manchester force tried to take his the police force to court for constructive dismissal. I think it was, or something like that, because he said that they'd sacked him because of his belief in the paranormal. But he actually said that, well, the tribunal threw it out, and they said it wasn't that at all. It was because he'd been getting police officers basically to carry out his paranormal surveys for him, he said, well, it's worked before because I've told people, you know, when my psychic ability that the person that's charged with murder is actually innocent, and they've let them go. He said. I'll try and find him while we're
and they gave him a sack, did they?
They sacked him for not because of his beliefs, but because he was basically using police time to do normal stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But
well, you can't fault him.
Not really. No.
it's really strange, you know. I used to be the last job I was at, although I did leave of my own accord, I wasn't sacked. In our lunch breaks or in our breaks, I used to get the two women doing the table tipping. I used to work with.
You were at that table, Jessica. You'll do it anywhere, won't you?
Oh, God.
Come on. Any free time?
We lost another table at the weekend.
Yeah.
We lost two at the weekend.
Yeah,
two.
Yeah.
So now I'm down to no tables. I ordered four more.
They always go in the same place, though.
Yeah, we need some different tables. We need something a little bit sturdier because we're getting some right action on these tables, aren't we, each week now? So
yeah.
That doesn't sound
good, Jess. It doesn't. I rephrase that. We're getting some good table tipping action. Anyway, what I wanted to concentrate on this week, because I know a few of us have seen it, courtesy of, perhaps I shouldn't say that, of Sarah and Andy, we've seen The Right, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yes.
Have you seen it? We've all seen it.
Yeah, we all went to the cinemas to watch it.
That's right, we all went together.
We did.
We all went to watch it.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. It was a great night,
it was.
Can I just say, what a freaky film.
Well, yeah. I thought it was brilliant.
Oh, absolutely brilliant.
It was.
I don't know if any of you folks out there have seen this film, The Right, yet. If you have, let us know by telling us yes. But I'll just give you a quick rundown about the film and what it's all about. The Right, it's a supernatural thriller that uncovers the devil's reach to even one of the holiest places on earth. Inspired by true events, the film follows a student, Michael Kovac, who's played by Colin O'Donoghue, and he's sent to study exorcism at the Vatican in spite of his own doubts about the controversial practice of exorcisms and even his own faith. Wearing his deep skepticism like armour, Michael challenges his superiors to look at, you know, maybe it's problems, psychiatric problems rather than demons in treating the possessed. Only when he's sent to apprentice with the unorthodox Father Lucas, played by Anthony Hopkins, who's a legendary priest who performed thousands of exorcisms, does Michael's armour begin to fall. Absolutely fantastic film, and I recommend everybody going to see it. Absolutely brilliant. So what are your thoughts on it, folks?
Well, I've actually read the book.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, and the book is nothing like the film, but
is it not?
It's still... You know, the film was still excellent, I thought. I think that because in the book, the priest doesn't get possessed by the devil. It's just a collection of stories of this chap who becomes a priest and basically feels the calling to be an exorcist. So he gets sent to be like an apprentice with the top exorcist in Rome. The only similarity is really that he's looking at it from a psychological viewpoint to begin with. But then he sort of realises, actually, there is evil out there, you know, and some of the things that happen in the film, some of the manifestations and things are actually real, taken from the book. Like things like people vomiting nails and blood and all that kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that really happened. Yeah.
And it was disturbing, wasn't it? The girl that got and she was pregnant, bless her. And it was awful.
And you weren't, I mean, I won't say what happened in case anyone wants to go and see it, but you weren't expecting that to happen necessarily during the, you know, to the girl. And then, you know, just the whole thing. But I thought Anthony Hopkins was amazing. He did turn into a little bit like Hannibal Lecter at one point.
He did,
And he started doing a bit of a Welsh accent, which made me laugh. It made me think of Gavin and Stacey. But then he went back to his sort of scary self. So that was, to me, that was the only sort of one sort of silly bit in the film, but it was still very frightening, very scary. And my husband doesn't really like things like that, and even he was sort of, you know, glued to it.
I actually watched it before I went to bed to sleep, and and I watched it all the way through apart from the very end with Anthony Hopkins, you know, and he has to exercise.
Great video, and
when Nathan came to bed, I said, "You've got to turn this off. I'm terrified." He said, "What's wrong with you?" And so we carried on watching it, and I was sweating, absolutely sweating, watching it with fear. And then, because I thought, all I could think about was, I've got to go to sleep after this, and I can't do it. I don't know about you,
Lon.
I can't
believe you were sweating in the auditorium. You know what I mean?
I know. Sweating like a pig. And then I said to Nathan, I need to see something funny after this. Because,
we didn't stop at the auditorium, we went home.
We did.
That's right.
But But it was just frightening. The whole thing was really scary.
It's the fact as well that one guy, up to the date of the film, had done over 2,000 exorcisms as well.
Mm. Oh, God,
And it's like, he said, if you've got loads of exorcists and they do that amount, something's got to be going on for there to be that many exorcisms.
Right at the beginning of the film, that was actually true. The Pope did, I think it was last year, wasn't it, commissioned sort of course in exorcism and did appoint each diocese with an exorcist because the Pope says there is a need for it.
Yeah.
And I must admit, from our point of view, we get lots of people asking us for help. Actually, the church over the road even sends them over to us.
Do they?
Yeah, at times. So the ones they can't.
Oh, my God. How terrifying, though, to witness something like that, you know. And it was so freaky when they coughed up those nails.
Yeah, I don't think that's a common occurrence, I have to say. I think, you know, but I have seen strange things, you know. I think I told you before, I put a cross on someone's neck. I was standing behind him so he couldn't see what I was doing. And I got this rosary blessed by the last Pope, Pope John Paul. And I put the cross on the back of his neck and he sort of flinched. Anyway, the next day this guy rang me and said his neck had all come up like a burn.
Oh, God.
That's mad.
It's
absolutely mad.
Absolutely true, I promise you.
Oh, my God. The things that we're just not aware of that do actually happen is amazing, isn't it, eh?
Well, I thought, people, if you believe in angels, you've got to believe in the opposite, haven't you?
Exactly.
Well, you know what he said at the end, to defeat it, we have to believe in it.
Yeah.
And that's so true.
And
that
is so
true.
The devil's best weapon, really, is the fact that we don't believe in it.
So what did you think to it, Sue Ingleby?
I thought it was very good. I was prepared to be absolutely terrified.
Yeah. And were you?
No.
Were you not? Was it just me?
No, I wasn't terrified, to be fair. I was, in fact, when they started with the mule and the boy being kicked and seeing all the bruises on his chest and his back, I started to realise partway through the film that he thought his own father was the devil as well. And then he was told that his father had died. And that's my problem with films. I tend to start, by the time I get to the middle of the film, I know the ending.
You know it, yeah. It's
very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I thought the acting, I thought Anthony Hopkins played it really well. But it is very true. We don't know. And as Sue has already said, the Pope himself produce an edict that there was a need for more exorcists around the world. And so there was training. The training was increased, intensified, if you like. It's quite scary to think that we could possibly be, surrounded by, the devil.
Well, we are then.
Yeah.
Don't you think we are? I mean, you've only got to look at what goes on in the world. You know, people that harm babies and animals, and you know, it makes you wonder how much of that is actually instigated by something that, you know, not just having a bad upbringing, or you know, how much is instigated by these entities that kind of, I don't believe that they possess you so much as like in that film, but I think that they're just as they have, you have angels whispering encouragement, I think you have the opposite whispering bad things. I really do.
I also think we probably only know a fraction of what actually goes on.
Yeah.
You know, there's that much that goes on. We just don't know about, do we?
Absolutely.
No. Mm. Yeah, it's quite frightening. So what stars can we give this film then? What rating out of 10? How many stars?
I'd give it an 8.
Yeah?
Yeah. For me, The Exorcist's a 10. So I'd give it an 8.
Yeah. What about you, Andy?
I'd give it a 7 or 8, yeah. It was good.
Yeah? And Sue?
Yeah, I'd be the same. 7 or 8.
And what about Nathan?
Yeah, 7 or 8.
We'll give it a 7.5, then out of 10.
Yeah.
what do you give it?
Well,
you give
for
it,
me,
Jess?
the fear factor was there, and so I've got to give it a 9. I'm giving it a 9.
So you get an overall of what? Yeah.
An 8.
An 8. Yeah, yeah. It's a bit like come dine with me, this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Must see.
come flight with me. Anyway, to you guys out there, well worth a view. Anyway, that's all I can say on that matter. That's a definite cert. So, can we not have any music tonight then, Sue?
We're all right. I'm back on now. We'll have a little break now if you like. Then we'll have an ad break and a bit of music while we get ready for the next bit. Yeah.
Yeah. See you in a minute, folks.
Live Paranormal Radio is the place to be, so join us at liveparanormal.com.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Welcome back to Blog Talk Radio, Dusk Till Dawn Radio. That was off the Most Haunted album, I think. I'm going to play something else off that later on. You back with us, Jess?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah.
What are we discussing next?
Hello. Sorry, I'm not. tonight.
Do you remember that thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. I was having a moment, a senior moment. You're listening to Dusk Till Dawn Radio, the radio talk show of all things paranormal and spiritual. Now, don't forget, all of you out there, we're all here. If you've got any questions to ask, fire away. Anything at all about the paranormal, obviously it's got to relate to the paranormal. Nothing saucy or, you know, out of the ordinary. But if you want to talk to us live on air, just add Dusk Till Dawn Radio onto Skype. Call us and we'll add you live into the show. Or you can call us on 6196 394 606 if you're calling from the USA.
And we do have a caller online at the moment.
Fabulous.
Just hang on a second.
Okay.
Hello there, caller on line one. What's your name?
Hello, this is Father Mike from the States.
Hello, Father Mike.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Very good.
Good.
It's great, it's great.
Well,
great.
I'd like to put my two cents into the subject that you were just discussing.
Okay.
Oh, fine. Yeah.
First, I recommend everybody see the film that you're recommending.
Yeah.
Secondly, I think it's time for this subject to be brought out of the dark, united with the mental health, medical, religious, and psychic community.
Yep,
yeah.
I disagree with the way the Roman Church has handled this and the whole rite of exorcism. They have removed it from the congregation. They have victimized the victim. They have put them, locked them away in institutions. They have locked them away into contact from family, from friends, and they have done this rite in isolation rather than in a congregational setting. And secondly, no matter whether the person is a believer or not, this must always end in the sacrament of the presence of the Lord in his body and blood.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
Go ahead.
No, please, carry on.
This is an issue that is going to probably increase as it has. But the reason it must be brought out into the light and finally understood for what it is. Today, no priest, no minister dares to go in when you're dealing with a real exorcism without a complete team, a professional team. He needs more than one clergy person. He needs a mental health practitioner. He needs a doctor or at least an EMT. He needs a lawyer present. He needs a... He needs to fully have everything documented, because if and when something goes wrong, he is civilly liable.
Yep,
of course, yeah.
And this is the first step in bringing it out of the darkness into the light of the medical, the mental, the spiritual community. People have a right, especially those who are possessed, they still have a right not to be victims of this.
Definitely.
And they have been made victims of this.
Absolutely,
there
is nothing.
There is nothing wrong with these people other than the conditions that have led to this state of being. They have probably been shut off from the church. They have been probably shut off from the medical community and the psychological community.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for those beers, Father Mike. Thanks for ringing in. It's really nice to speak to you in person. And we'll hope you carry on listening to the show and join us on another occasion when you want to add your views. So thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Father Michael.
Okay, no problem. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, it's lovely to have Father Michael on, wasn't it?
It was, and it's lovely to hear. You know, from obviously, I don't know if Father Mike performs any exorcisms, but yeah, it was fascinating to hear. Really great. So just before we had our break, I never said what we're going to talk about, but I fancy tonight to talk about reincarnation. It's something which I don't know a lot about. I'm hoping everybody else does, as always. But I just wanted to ask the question, is reincarnation true? Does it really happen? What are your thoughts?
It's always me first. I don't know is the answer. Because I think that if I go by what my spirit guide tells me, then I would have to say yes.
Okay.
He tells me that you're kind of given these, when you decide how many times you're coming back and what lessons you're going to learn. And so you have to have these different vehicles or bodies to learn those lessons in.
Yeah.
But then it does throw up other questions. Think, well, are you reincarnated straight away? Do you wait? What's happened to those people who are, because we know people haunt various buildings because we've seen them. What happened to them? How come they haven't been reincarnated? What's their life plan?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I think it's a subject that you can't really fully understand. But having said that, I've seen some fascinating programs and read some fascinating things about people who have been, well, have proved really that they've been reincarnated. There was one little boy in India who was born, I think it was on his head, with a scar on his head, in exactly the same place as his uncle had been killed by a bullet.
All right.
And when he was old enough to talk, he kind of started saying, you know, well, when his, the auntie was there, well, that's my wife, and that's my son, and that's my daughter. And they put him in the car, and he took them to the house that he lived in the next village along. Now, this child had got no idea even where the village was. You know, he'd never been there before. But he directed them to this village and took them to the house where his uncle used to live.
Oh, wow.
That was on British TV not so long ago. So how do you explain that type of thing? You know, that's very, very strange.
That's it. Yeah. That's our youngest lad, Jack, when he was about 3 or 4. Even to this day, he still hates loud bangs, say, like on bonfire night. And when he was about 3 or 4, he used to hate it and it terrified him. And he told us the one night, the reason he doesn't like the bangs is because when he remembered being another sort of, in another time, I suppose, another life, he remembered being trapped in a car. The firemen were trying to get him out, but the car exploded and banged. And
oh, my God.
We think that's why he didn't like the bangs now, because he perfectly remembered being stuck in his car and, like, the firemen trying to get him out. In the end, it just blew up and sort of killed him.
Wow.
But, you know, he was only sort of 3 or 4 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Too sort of young to be able to make it up coherently, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
okay, we've got another caller ringing in now. I'll just see if it's who it is and what they want to talk about.
Okay.
Okay, then caller on line one, what's your name and what do you want to talk about?
It's Lexi.
Hello, Lexi. Thank you for
Hi, Lexi.
How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Since you've got your topic up of reincarnation, I thought I'd throw in a tidbit or two.
Okay.
Okay. Well, science, here's proof of reincarnation via science. The soul has been measured by energy leaving the body. It has been discovered that the soul is actually energy. Science itself teaches that energy never dies, it just changes forms.
Yeah.
So, can it find another place to exist? Yes. Therefore, I do believe in reincarnation. Also, if you go by the belief systems of, well, for myself, Wicca, and the pagan religions, I'm kind of eclectic in that, then you're looking at... yes, the soul can come back even after death, and then the memories, of course, that, you know, some people have actually proven that some people have retained their memories. You were mentioning about a young boy that remembered getting blown up in a car.
Yes, yeah, Andy's son.
Okay, I happen to know of another little boy who remembers being a soldier and remembered the name of his wife, remembered the name of his family, and actually they found the soldier who he was. And
wow.
His family's still alive.
Wow. It's amazing.
Amazing.
You have to say then, don't you, that that's proof, really?
Hmm?
You have to say, really, that that's proof then, don't you?
I would have to because, I mean, how can this little boy who doesn't get a chance, you know, to know people miles away and they find out that, you know, he even knew his name.
Amazing. Why do you think then, Lexi, that most of us can't remember?
Well, for one thing, I find that they say that the traumatization of birth, the actual method of birth can actually, you know, the trauma can wipe out past memories. This has been a theory going on. My daughters both were not born in the traditional fashion. They were both C-section babies.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter herself has shaded memories from a past life.
Right, okay.
My oldest has.
She remembers another
life.
So she didn't have the trauma of birth, that's what you're saying. So,
right. I mean, the doctor attempted to simulate it by squeezing her out of a little incision, but she remembers these things. And I really think that, you know, because the birth itself can be a very traumatic event. You're all happy and warm and a little, in you know, floating around, feeling all warm and love, and then all of a sudden pushed out. Yeah, that can be pretty traumatizing. And all of a sudden getting probed and poked and all that jazz.
Yeah, okay, well, I was going to say,
some people aren't meant to remember it.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. I think maybe we don't remember because of karma, you know. Say, for instance, I'd killed Jess in a past life. If I then had to repay karma in this life, when I met her, she would run a mile from me. You know, so maybe it's for that reason, so we can give our karmas back without sort of...
Or even the trauma of their previous death.
Yeah, even that too, yeah. So,
I fully believe that on the other side, there is a waiting ground to review, and maybe they haven't forgotten because they haven't been in the summerland long enough to forget.
And we're all very individual. Maybe some people take longer than others, you know, to get over their death, you know. Okay, well, it's really interesting. Thanks for calling in, Lexi. It's been lovely to hear your views. We hope you'll call again. Thanks
for joining
us. Oh, my
pleasure. That's always a very important topic to me. Thank you for sharing it, and thank you for having me on.
No problem. Thank you very much. Nice to talk to Lexi, for someone from the chat room. If anybody else wants to call in, do you want to give the number out, Jess? Because I'm
yes, the number, if you call in from America, it is 6196-394-606. Or if you call in from the UK, just add us on Dusk Till Dawn Radio onto Skype. Call us and we'll add you live into the show. That's brilliant. Because I was going to ask that question, but I just wanted to ask Sue and Andy their views on reincarnation. And Nathan, if you're still with us, what are all your thoughts on it?
Well, I definitely believe in reincarnation because I believe that I've lived twice in the 20th century.
Do you?
I believe I got to be 8 years of age the first time. And then when I came back in my present incarnation, I was born a few years after the Second World War. Born 13
so
what
years, ma- 18
what
makes
years
you, after the Second so what World makes War. You what makes you think this then, Sue? What, you know, brings
well,
it
to
life?
Well, I don't believe in going and poking around in the psyche, but I was sitting in meditation and I'd heard about reincarnation and never really given it any great thoughts. And then I was sitting in meditation in circle one evening and were asked to go back to as far as we could remember.
Yeah.
Well, in going back, I went further back than even I thought I could remember, because I went back to the Second World War, and I could see my mother, and I could feel the fear, and I was ripped away from my mother's arms and shoved onto a cattle train by some soldiers, and I was wearing a Polish national dress, so uh-huh. I knew that I was a Polish girl, a Polish Jew, and I'd also had an affinity to the Jewish faith for a long time. I'd been very interested in the Jewish faith for a long time, and you know, I like you know, Hebrew names and stuff like that. So, it wasn't anything that I'd thought about, and all of a sudden, all these things came piling out in this meditation. We were gathered by the side of a railway. The soldiers were segregating us and, you know, separating males from females and children from their mothers and pushing the children onto the train. And we were taken to Trebenica.
Oh gosh.
Concentration camp. And I always wondered why I was terrified of closed, very hot, high spaces.
Mm-hmm.
But now I know. Now I know why.
Oh, God. That was a real in-depth meditation then, Sue. Was it upsetting when you came out of it?
I cannot put it, no, because it was shocking, because obviously I hadn't gone in with that express idea of getting something of a previous life, because at that point I hadn't really thought about it, and I'm not one for poking around in the psyche, so you know, for me it was if something came, then something came, basically. And then I had all this, and I was 8 years of age, and I believe that it was 1942 when I was killed.
Strange, really, because I've never had a meditation or anything like that. I find it difficult actually to get into that type of thing. But I do, when I was a child, I used to have a recurring nightmare where I was hiding in a cupboard under the stairs, and I could see Nazi sort of jackboots running past the cupboard. And I knew they were searching the house, and I was absolutely terrified in this dream. And then it stopped after I got, you know, the age of about 8 or 9. But I often wonder, you know, and I've got another friend who has a similar sort of experience to me and Sue. And it's really weird. When I first met Sue Ingleby, and then when I first met this other friend as well, straight away I really liked them and felt like I knew them. And I wonder whether we did actually know each other in another life. And like Sue, you know, I've still got an interest in the Jewish faith and the Kabbalah and all that type of thing. I find it fascinating.
Brilliant.
So it's strange. It makes me wonder whether we actually knew each other before, you know.
Yeah. How weird.
Mm.
How very, very odd. What about you, Andy? What are your thoughts on reincarnation?
It is something I believe in, especially because of what our kids have experienced.
Because
even our Evie, you know, she spoke to Sarah before when she was younger, saying that she remembers when she was here before with her other mummy.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, her other mummy with red hair, she said. And she was having a chat to Sarah about it. But I also strongly believe that our souls, we always meet the same group of people again in each lifetime. So, we all come together in the same soul group. It might be, you know, I might have been female in a past life, or I might have been Sarah's brother or something, but I believe your group of friends that you're really strongly connected with, I do believe you've all met before in past lives.
Do you think we'll all meet again?
Yeah, I think we all have before as well.
Do you think all our souls are connected then?
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, I definitely believe that.
Yeah, and I think that's why we've got a strong connection too as well when we're at the shop and that.
Yeah.
You know, I think there is something that's been there before.
Mm.
So, big believer in that.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, you know, like, let's say certain people that you meet, you have this feeling straight away, don't you? And I must admit, all of you actually that are online on the call tonight, I felt the same with all of you, you know.
Yeah.
I really think that our souls are all connected. Right, shall we have a little break and carry on the conversation afterwards? I think it's time for another little ad break and maybe another little tune. So we'll join you, be back with you in a couple of minutes.
Live Paranormal Radio is the place to be, so join us at liveparanormal.com.
Yeah, that's awesome.
A hangman's rope, 182 deaths, and many ghosts. 24 hours at the Skirrid Inn.
Thank you.
www.liveparanormal.com.
You're listening to Live Paranormal Radio at liveparanormal.com.
Welcome back. That was the Skiridin track from the Most Haunted album, and we're at the Skiridin this Friday, which I'm really looking forward to because I've never done it. So I played that track in honour of the Skiridin.
Brilliant.
So what are we talking about now, Jess?
Well, it's something that I've wanted to talk about for quite a while, not that I know a lot about it, of course, and it's doppelgangers. Not apple catchers, doppelgangers.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, the doppelganger. There's been incredible true cases of exact doubles, which is what a doppelganger is. And these often appear, often as a forecast of death or disaster, and remarkable stories of people who can be in two places at the same time, really. So do any of you guys out there think you have an exact double somewhere in the world? Do you think a person can be in two places at once? What are your thoughts on this, folks out there? Apparently, Claude, doppelganger is a German word for double walker, a shadow self that is thought to accompany every person. What are all your thoughts on this, everybody?
Well, it's something that's been reported for, you know, thousands of years, hasn't it? So I've never actually seen one, I have to say. But one of the people that I sort of admire, Padre Pio, who was a sort of mystic priest who had the stigmata and, you know, he was a fantastic healer and whatever. He, I suppose, supposedly had the ability to bilocate, which is where it was sending you healing. You would see him, you know, in your room, and his doppelganger would appear in your room. So I think I do believe in it, although I've never actually witnessed it. What about you, Sue?
Yeah.
I've never seen it. I've heard plenty of stories about it. I think that it's, you know, very possible. I mean, we often hear of people appearing just short to their loved ones that have passed away.
Mm.
And it's the same thing. It's the very same, excuse me, it's the very same energy. So, yes, I think that it can happen. And I also know of people who have done it. They've been coming home from work and been on the bus, and their partner has been, you know, coming out the front door and seen them walking up the path in a green coat, and he's gone back in and left the door open, thinking that she would be coming through the door in a minute, and 10 minutes later realised that she's not there, come back outside to see her walking up the road after she's got off the bus, and she's wearing a red coat, but when he first saw her, she was wearing a green one.
That's interesting, because green is opposite on the colour spectrum to red as well, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting. Mm.
Yeah. I wonder if it's something to do with parallel universes. What do you think about that?
It could well be, Sue. You know, yeah. You think it's beyond the realm of possibility.
Because, you know, there is this theory that we're all in our universe, but there are thousands and thousands of other parallel universes. There are actually, yeah. You know, for each decision that we make or each thing that we do, every tiny thing, there is a separate universe for that, and it makes you wonder whether, you know, sometimes those universes sort of collide.
See, I sometimes wonder as well if some of these parallel universes are different times as well, because, you know, like, say for instance, you hear stories of somebody seeing a Roman army marching up a street or something. I wonder sometimes whether that's a brief glimpse into that parallel universe. You know, and that's what there is.
Yeah, you sort of know, where time is sort of...
where like a brief window opened as such.
Yeah,
and,
rather than a ghost, yeah, sort of thing.
That's it, yeah, you gain a glimpse of that time.
Yeah, that's a possibility. I'll tell you what was weird actually at the weekend, it made me think about that, Andy, I'm glad you mentioned it. somebody was at Woodchester Mansion had taken their camera up to the bathroom. And you know the noise when the digital cameras, video camera switches itself off?
Yeah.
And it makes that beeping noise.
Yeah.
Well, they'd been on their walk round sort of on their own, and she came back and said to me, oh, we put this camera in the bathroom, and, you know, it's really weird, it switched itself off. And I said, well, you know, that happens sometimes. Anyway, a bit later on, we went up in the bathroom. This lady was in the group, and we heard this noise of a camera switching itself off. So I said to her, oh, that's your camera switching itself off again. And she said, no, my camera's downstairs. So I said to everyone in the group, has anyone got a digital camera that switched on? And nobody had, and yet we'd heard it switch itself off.
Oh.
And now that made me think maybe there's something within, you know, the ley lines or something around that building that actually causes a bit of a rift in the time continuum, so that we were actually hearing an echo of something that had happened, you know, half an hour before.
Possibly.
Yeah, yeah, that's weird. Claude said in the chat room, there are stories told about a doppelganger on the German island, hope I say this right, Helgoland. The people there believe if you see a doppelganger of someone without a hat walking on the island, there'll be something happening to the real one, you know, the other person. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And Leah said, I would love to say my doppelganger is David Beckham. Sadly, I was lying to my teeth.
Well, you've stole my joke now, because I was going to say Madonna's a doppelganger, but...
Oh, yeah, so that's brilliant. There was a story, I don't know how true it was, a teacher, and I'll probably say this wrong, by the name of Sergei, was writing on a blackboard in the classroom, and then her exact double appeared beside her. The doppelganger precisely copied the teacher's every move as she wrote, except that it didn't hold any chalk, and the event was witnessed by 13 students in the classroom. So isn't that weird?
Yeah. But
people saw that. So what was that? You know,
strange.
That's so strange. But haven't people ever said to you, I know your face?
Yeah, all the time.
Yes. Many times.
Yeah.
Funny enough, if you remember, Suti, you said that to Sarah when you first met her.
Mm. I did. I felt like I knew her, yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny that, isn't it? When you go somewhere, and that's happened to me before. I went to a psychic weekend, and this woman walked in, and we looked the same. We just looked identical. Poor woman.
No, that happened to me as well when I was younger. I was in a pub and this girl came in, and I just, you know how you know somebody looks like you? And I've always sort of dyed my hair really bright red, and she'd even got the bright red hair, and I was like, oh my God.
And were you drawn to her?
Yes.
Yeah, I was to this woman.
Were you?
Yeah, and we just kept looking at each other. We were at this psychic thing for two, you know, a weekend. And then sort of the second day, she came over to me. She says, I feel as if I know you. And I said, well, I do you. I didn't say I think we look like each other. Oh. But she said, where do you live? I said, well, from Nottingham. And she was sort of Yorkshire way, you know. So there's no chance that we ever knew each other. But and that's actually happened to me twice. I used to work in a nursing home, and another woman there, we were the double of each other. It must be just the common face. But
common face.
But it was the build, you know, everything. It was really weird. You'd have thought we were sisters, you know. But,
I suppose, like, what we're saying really is it's the ghost of a living person, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. What are your thoughts on it, Nathan? You with us? No, he's probably playing on my Xbox.
I reckon Reagan's probably got him, isn't she?
I am no one.
Yeah, she's got him. Yeah. At least we'll have a bit of peace tonight.
Oh, I hope so. I could do with a decent night's sleep. All that knocking on that room upstairs, it's no good, you know. Keeps
That's
me awake. That is the headboard.
Yeah.
You're right. And And as Walter said, the deja vu effect, how many times, but this is sort of reincarnation as well. How many times have you said, I've just said this whole sentence before? Yeah. Or I've just done this exact thing before, you know.
I was going to say that happened to me today. And it's such a weird feeling, isn't it, deja vu?
Yeah.
It's like something's on the tip of your tongue, but it's not on the tip of your tongue, it's on the tip of your brain almost, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, this is really familiar, and then it's gone. It's a really strange feeling.
What do you think that is?
I don't know. Unless it is that parallel universe thing overlapping.
That moment, yeah. What do you think, Sue?
I think that, it is. It's a glitch in time. It's a step out of one parallel into another. Without a doubt. And we have soul recognition as well, because we will recognise people from our soul groups.
Yeah, I think Andy's
Say that a little bit more then. I don't quite understand that.
Well, you see, we know each other here in the now, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same when we're in spirit. We all come together for reasons. We all come together because we have similar energies or similar views or similar interests. We come together for many reasons. But when we go back to the spirit world, our soul goes back to our soul group. And that group consists of many variations on the soul. Now, you know, so we recognise each other on a soul level, because we will interact in the spirit world just like we do here. Just because we've crossed over doesn't mean we stop interacting or being part of something living. It's just that we are changed. We are light energy. We have no physical needs.
And I think as well, Sue, isn't it? Like, you know, friends that we have here, we all tend to be friends with people who are similar to us, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, people who like the same things or into the same stuff, you know. And I think that sort of what it is actually is that your auras are similar colours, yeah, and similar vibrations. So what happens?
Energetics.
Exactly. So I think when your physical body's gone, those auras are still going to be attracted to the same types of people, aren't
they? Exactly.
Because like attracts like, as we know. So,
I mean, going back to the incarnation thing as well, because that is part of what we're talking about anyway.
Mm.
Because, you know, okay, yeah, you can go from one body straight into another, and that is what the Buddhic belief is, that once you finish with one body, you are incarnated into another body. Your soul goes straight in to another body. Whereas the spiritual view is that or a spiritualist view, if you like, is that the body has the spirit energy has to recoup itself before it can move on to being reincarnated or moving on into the spirit world. And depending on its on how traumatic its passing was, or whether the person knew they were passing, you know, if the person knew that they were passing, they would go straight into the spirit world, straight out, because they would know what was happening to them. But if you had a traumatic passing, say somebody died in a horrific car accident, they will be taken to a place of healing, a place of recuperation, before they go into the spirit world. Let's use Princess Diana for an example there, because she had a very shocking and destructive passing. Now, she would not have gone straight into the spirit world, because she would not have been able to cope with it. So she would have been taken, and she would have been kept asleep for a while in a healing place until she was, and she would have been woken up slowly into the spirit world. Right. And all this is part of our recognition. It's our soul recognition. So we will recognise people in the spirit world just like we would recognise people here.
Which is why then when you meet someone, like when I met Sarah, you know, you go, oh, I know you.
And it's why you also get that instant interaction, that instant rapport. Generally, if you've known each other previously, there is just a slotting together.
It's like picking up with an old friend, isn't it? As opposed to, you know, you don't need to sort of really get to know each other well. You just kind of feel comfortable with each other and know each other. Yeah, so I know what you mean there. Actually, Sue, I did feel a bit like that when I met you. Very similar.
Yeah, it was the same for me. I was the same when I met you at...
At Hall Green?
At church, yeah.
Those years church, ago. Yeah.
Many moons ago now.
Yeah. So what about you, Jess? Have you ever met somebody where you just instantly think, oh, you know, I know that person?
Yeah, that woman at the psychic weekend, and that's, yeah, I mean, you, all of you, I have that feeling as well. But you can be in a shop, can't you? And just bump into somebody, and then you speak so easy to them, everything comes free, and, you know, it's not forced talking kind of thing, and you feel relaxed, and it's like you have known each other for a long, long time. It's just bizarre.
And then the opposite to that is when you meet someone and try as you might, you can't make a conversation with them, and it's really awkward.
Yeah.
You can't look at them in the eye, and, I mean, that's a horrible experience.
Yeah. Do you think that's, you're picking up on their aura and that, you know, like that thing when you walk into a room and you just, there's one person there which you cannot sort of tolerate or want to get to know. You just instantly know that you're just not going to get on.
Well, I think your auras are so different. And, you know, again, it's something that I think we've all got this ability to sort of feel other people's energy. But we've forgotten it, and we sort of say, oh, yeah, well, you know, like you said, when you go into a room and you can sense an atmosphere, it's a similar thing. And I think what it is that your aura, the colours of your aura or the vibration of your aura is on a different level to that person's. And that's why you don't mix, you know, where there's other people where you just sort of, you know, completely slot together.
I was just going to ask you, because we touched on it a little bit earlier. If we are to be reincarnated, how long does it take, you know, for that to happen from when we die? I mean, do we come back immediately, or is there a cycle to go through before we can come back again? What do you think about that?
Sue probably knows more about this than I do.
What do you think?
What was that, love?
I was going to say, do you think there's a cycle, you know, of when we die to the time that we do come back? Or, you know, is it immediate? Yeah. Or?
Well, the Buddhic view is that we come back straight away. We go from one body into another. That's why they have the Dalai Lama. They believe that when the Dalai Lama passes away, his soul will reincarnate in another baby, and they will scour the country to find that baby. So that is one view. I personally think that you take time before you come back. You would have to, especially if you had a traumatic passing. You would need time to adjust to the fact that you are now not a physical body, but a spiritual body, and you would need time to adjust to that. One of the analogies that I use is when I lost my twins when I was 18 years of age. They lived for 6.5 hours. I believed, even back then at 18, that my babies were still with me because I could see them. I could see them growing up in the spirit world. And I saw them up until they were about 18 years of age. They did everything. They were exactly the same as they had done. All their schooling and everything would have been done here. It was exactly the same in the spirit world. But at the age of 18, they sort of stopped being there. I didn't see them anymore, or I wasn't aware of them anymore. And I feel that they were given the choice at that point to either move on deeper into the spirit world and work from a higher level, or to reincarnate back down here on the earth plane. So I believe that they decided they wanted to be reincarnated and come back here to experience life. Because one of the other things that I firmly believe in is that we choose before we arrive here, the particular lives that we're going to live, the particular experiences that we're going to have throughout that life. So we choose the parents we're going to be born to give us our greatest learning. Also, then we also have people come in who will have a bigger influence on our lives as we grow up, and so they give us our greatest learning also. And, you know, we decide on when we're going back and how we're going back home and what kind of an illness or how we are going to pass back to the spirit world. And, you know, so we decide on the illness pre being born while we are still in the spirit world. And basically, it's already set, it's already part of our fate, if you like, to go through that particular experience. So, yes, I think that you do have to take time in the spirit world to realise all those things and then be able to make a decision as to come back or not.
Yeah. Well, what you touched on about, you know, parents that you choose to be born to, maybe those who have difficult parents, you know, and then they go on to be parents themselves and become wonderful parents. Do you think that's all part of the you know, the learning process and everything? They choose not to follow the path of the you know, the parents that weren't so good, but they make a life change and you know, and create another cycle and become wonderful parents.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I mean, who knows? Really, anything's possible, isn't it? Really, you know.
Mm. I wonder if we're ever reborn as animals.
Well, actually, funny enough, we were talking about this the other day. I can't remember who I was talking to. Somebody said that they believe that. Oh, it was Justin, wasn't it? So, at group.
Yeah, we were
discussing it at our meditation group last week, and he said that I think it's the Buddhists believe that, don't they? That you kind of go around in cycles. I personally don't believe that. I think, you know, why would you, not saying that humans are better than animals, but we're certainly more kind of sentient, aren't we, I think. Mm. And to me, it would be a step backwards almost to do that.
To go back towards.
Yeah.
Again, sorry to use the Buddhic view again, but, you know, it's part
of
what we're talking
about.
Right. You start off as the lowest insect, amoeba, cell, whatever you want to call it, right? And then you progress each time upwards. And with each progression, you become closer and closer to nirvana, right? Mm. So you can't go back. You can only go forward, right? So you can't be an ant again.
Mm.
You can't be a bird. You can't be a cat or a dog again, because you constantly progress from one to the other. So you start off as a being, because we all have a soul. Even an ant, as stupid as it sounds, has a soul. It might not have a brain, it might not be able to think or feel the way we do, but it has something, all right? But then that will progress to be, I don't know, a bird. Let's just say, for argument's sake, he progresses to be a bird. Then it will progress from being a bird to a cat or a dog, and so on and so forth, until it becomes a human being. And then the human being is then constantly progressing to try and reach the highest point, which is enlightenment. So to be completely enlightened, which is light, which is just being.
Part of the God energy.
Absolutely.
So reincarnation never actually stops then, does it? It's just continuous, do you think?
It's continuous, yeah. It never stops.
No. Okay. Well, that's quite interesting. I don't know if I believe or not. I'll never know. But
well, you will one day.
I will one
day. You come back to the life.
Yeah. But will I know?
No, probably not. I think, you know, in between lives, I think that's when you have a sort of review, you know. But you don't know in the lifetime that you're in my experience.
No. Yeah. It's interesting. Now, time's getting on. Where's it gone again? Where's the time
very
gone?
It goes nice, doesn't it, eh?
So quickly, yeah. Let's talk about the weekends that we've got coming up. What have we all got coming up this weekend?
Well, I've got Skiridin on Friday night. with Dusk Till Dawn events with yourselves, Jess. Really yeah. looking forward to this. I think it's a famously haunted place. I've deliberately not, as usual, you know, somewhere I don't know, I've deliberately not kind of tried to stay away from finding any information out about it. And hopefully we'll be able to pick up some good stuff there. But one thing I do know about it is that it's very haunted. So I think it's one of those physical places from what I remember people talking about it, a bit like the Ram Inn. So
sounds really, really interesting.
Really yeah. looking forward to that one. And then on Saturday, that we may be having a few vigils at Spiritus. Not sure yet, really. Depends how it goes. And that's it, really, for my weekend. Other than that, I've got a weekend off, which is nice for a change, because it's Easter, of course.
Mm, yeah.
Not that I'm religious, but still it's nice to have a break.
But it's nice to eat the Easter eggs. It's nice
yeah, I don't mind having the eggs, yeah. Because, you know, they are representative of the spring as well, aren't they? So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but hasn't it got warm? It's got warm here. What's
so
going on?
Here in the UK, and I'm not liking it, Jess.
I'm not liking this one bit either, I tell you.
My legs are on fire, mate.
So am I. So what's your website, Sue?
My website is www.spiritus-uk.com, which I'll put in the chat room now. What are you up to this weekend, Sue?
Well, Friday and Saturday are pretty quiet. Sunday I'm doing a service at a church. I'm actually serving a church and being the medium, which is nice. It's always nice to go back to my roots sometimes. And basically, that's it, really. Oh, we're off to Alton Towers on Tuesday for a fun day, for a family day out.
Oh, that's nice. Pretty good. I'm hoping we'll have hordes of people in Evesham and they'll come and spend in my shop over the weekend. So if anyone is listening in the Midlands area, come to Evesham on Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, definitely.
Come in my shop, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And what's your website, Sue Ingleby?
It's www.pillaroftruelight.co.uk. And I'm just putting
really?
It into the chat room.
Yeah, pop it in. And Andy, what have you got lined up? Anything good?
No, just a nice quiet weekend this weekend. So
yeah.
nothing planned this one.
No. It is it's Good Friday on Friday, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yeah. This really weird this Easter, the dates and everything. And then of course we've got the wedding, haven't we? We've got
yes.
William and Kate's wedding, the royal wedding.
29th, but of course we shall be down my cellar when that's on, won't we, gang?
That's
yes,
right.
We will.
Yeah, we're having a special royal wedding ghost hunt on.
On the 29th, are you?
Yeah, we're all going down my cellar.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd prefer to be doing that than watching the royal wedding, I have to say, and that's a bit naughty, but I'm not a royalist, and
no,
I'm afraid I won't be tuning in, but that's...
Today, actually, if you remember out of the frenzy when Prince Charles got married, and people just aren't bothered anymore, are they? You know, the world's changed, doesn't it?
Definitely. I mean, I'll probably have a quick look, but, you know, I'm not going to sat there glued like I was to Charles and Di's wedding all those years ago, you know, looking at the dress and everything. Now, for Dusk Till Dawn, of course, we've got the Evesham Ghost Fest, which is a three-day event, and that's the 17th to the 19th of June this year. There's going to be a psychic fair, which will be free demos, lots of things going on, lots of stalls and things, and that's at the Evesham Town Hall, and we are joined by a celebrity, Ian Lawman, for that one. He'll also be joining us for the rest of the events for the 3 days, and that's the ghost hunts, workshops, suppers at Salford Hall, and he's also doing the mediumship workshop at your place, isn't he, Sue?
Yep, he is, yeah.
And one thing we always forget to talk about, we do have, if anybody's interested in opening their psychic awareness, if they are interested in mediumship, Dusk Till Dawn events do provide workshops such as angel workshops, those interested in developing, learning the tarot and psychic development, and not just for beginners, for all levels. And that's at the lovely Studley Castle in Warwickshire, and at £30 for the whole day, including a buffet buffet meal as well and refreshments today. That's a bargain with some fantastic tutors, which is Sue and Michael Trainer. So,
thank you.
Oh, come along and join us for those. And we've also got a very, very special charity event for the Cots for Tots appeal. We're doing a location which is actually exclusive to Dusk to Dawn events. And this is down in some Victorian vaults underneath the Temple Meads actual train station in Bristol. It's for 24 people only. It's two locations in one night, and it's going to be a cracking night. We're trying to raise over £1,000 for this very, very worthy charity, which is Babies Incubators, to raise enough money for those for the hospitals, Bristol Hospital. So please join us for that if you can. It's going to be a real spectacular night and limited to 24 people, so you're going to have a great night. Is there anything else I've missed out? Just let me know. You can't remember.
I don't think so, no. I think that's
no?
it.
Yeah. So, thanks for stopping with us again, folks. I'm sorry about the sound. We've had a few problems tonight, but hopefully you've heard most of the show. And thank you for those that have called in. We really do love that, having a one-to-one chat with you all. That's brilliant. But it means we've sadly reached the end of another Dusk to Dawn Radio show for this week, but rest assured we will be back with more lively paranormal chat next week, same time, same place. So I'd like to thank all the gang for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you. Pleasure as usual. Yeah,
been really good. So just one last word. Thanks for listening in, everybody. Thanks to Nathan as well.
Yeah, thanks,
Nathan. Yeah. And yep. Have a wonderful spooky week ahead, everybody, and enjoy Easter. So good night, folks, and take care.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Live Paranormal Radio at liveparanormal.com. LP Web Design, 100% custom websites, entry pages, Twitter backgrounds, banners, and more. For more information, please visit liveparanormal.com, the official web designer of the stars.
Hopefully we are alive and kicking.
We are. Bring my mic over here.
Bring the mic over. Good evening and welcome everybody.
Here we are again.
Again.
Metaphysical World with Lunar Orbit, Larry and Claire. And it's Tuesday night again, and it's just gone 11 PM UK time. That's 6 PM American time. And of course for Claude, 12 midnight German time.
Yes.
We do it every week.
We do, especially. It's a special intro just for Clark.
She can't guarantee that she's not going to fall asleep during the show.
Oh, but... I don't want to hear that.
And do you know why that is?
Why is that?
Because she's been drinking beer.
Oh, disgusting. Dirty stop out.
Disgusting behaviour.
That's a good idea, though, isn't it?
We had one earlier.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, actually, yeah. We did. So.
I'm drinking orange juice.
Let's just get a sound test to make sure everybody out in limbo land out there. Hopefully you can hear us. We've just retuned the system again. So if you can hear us okay, then let us know if you can on the chat rooms. Yeah. And then we'll know what twiddling to do.
Yeah.
How many have you got there, by the way?
I don't know. We've got a usual crowd, from what I can see.
Hello, usual crowd.
We've got our usual die-hard crowd.
Oh, what's the thing to say?
It is a bit late at night for
me.
Us English people.
Yeah, the dog's already gone to bed.
Yeah, the dog went to bed an hour and a half ago.
Yep, she couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
You know, she had a very late night a couple of nights ago.
Everybody can hear us.
Excellent.
Excellente.
Excellent.
As the advert goes. Excellente. Half spoon, full spoon. There's an advert on telly. This made me think of that.
Yes, dear. We understand.
So, what have we been up to this week? Do our usual show.
Loads.
Apart from being rushed off our feet in the shop with tourists.
Yes.
Some of them more annoying than others.
Some more than others. They're all annoying.
Oh, some of them really do try your patience.
Yeah. Still a few interesting aura photographies this week. Nearly all reds, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Red people this week.
We had a bit of a flurry of red auras.
Yeah. Seasonal, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe it's seasonal. Like
stressed out people.
Well.
School holidays, isn't it?
That'd do it for me.
It's expected.
Yes.
Yes,
definitely.
It's Easter this weekend, so we're expecting quite a few more red auras. After a weekend of screaming kids and everything. But yeah, we're going for, well, I wouldn't describe it as a mini heat wave, but for the UK at this time of year, it's quite warm at the moment.
Borderline heat wave?
Yeah, it was up to 75 degrees today down in Tintagel. The sun was out, the surfers were out, the shorts and t-shirts were out, and people were getting sunburnt. Oh, Larry's fiddling with summer.
I just turned the volume down on my headset.
Right, okay.
Because it was interfering with my microphone. And
yes.
As it's a chat room, I don't need a microphone, I don't need a headset. So talking rubbish now, aren't I?
Yes, yes, Claude, we did have some German tourists, but we like the Germans because...
Oh, they're exceptional.
We like the Germans because they're always polite, and they always like spending money.
Yes.
And they're always very interested in what you have to say.
Mainly the other ones, you know, the ones beginning with F.
The French are a little bit more of an acquired taste.
And the spawns.
Larry calls them the spawns, but we won't go into that because it might offend a few people. But we do get some annoying tourists who I don't understand why they come to a spiritual place like Tintagel if they haven't got a spiritual bone in their body. And they have to ask really stupid questions.
Maybe the other half's got the spiritual bone and they've just got blubber.
They've got dragged here by the other half.
Yeah, I think so, sometimes. I don't think it's, you know, it's just we're going somewhere nice and you're driving. You know, that's it really.
Yes, Susie, you're welcome in our shop. We'll get the brews on.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, without a doubt.
Well, you can come and have your aura photographed. And Larry will tell you everything that you probably don't want to know about yourself.
Oh, yes. We do. We do scare a few people. Have scared quite a few people lately, actually.
Yes.
We're telling them all of their deepest secrets.
Yes. And what else did we do this week? Yes, Thursday night we did our internet TV broadcast from Mark's place.
Yeah, we don't know if any of the guys managed to catch it though. It was quite good. It was done next door, and we had four cameras, two in the Reiki room, and one on Claire herself, and one on myself.
Yes,
and Mark.
We were, just to explain to everyone, the Healing Realms Limited. I have to say Limited.
Yes, we do see Limited.
Next door to us is a primarily a Reiki practice run by Mark, who we work with on paranormal events. And so we did a broadcast from there. It was basically an open question and answer thing to the three of us. And we had some very interesting questions.
Really, about nearly 40-odd people.
Some very interesting questions. And unfortunately, we had to go to night vision because the main camera, you could see the massive bags under my eyes and I looked hideous. So we went to night vision so I could hide it all.
No, you didn't look hideous at all.
You look so much younger in night vision.
You look no more hideous than normal. Don't worry.
You do look so much younger in night vision.
You also look white.
Look devil with... Yeah, glowing
it was,
eyes.
It was a very interesting evening. We had quite a lot of questions just thrown at us. So, as I said, we don't know how many of you guys managed to listen to it, if you managed
it
at all.
It was fun.
But it was actually really good. I think we're starting to do a few, going to consider more of them.
Yeah. Question and answer things.
Lots of people. Lots of very interesting questions. Scary questions, some of them, actually.
Yes.
Hmm.
So, what else have we been doing?
That's quite a lot, you know.
Like I say, brushed off our feet in the shop.
All photography. Lewis's hasn't opened yet, which is
no. Our two rooms down the road that does the bangingest and most amazing fry up. He still isn't open yet.
No,
he's hanging
no,
in there.
Depressing.
This is not good.
At least another week.
Yes. I seriously need fry up.
Eggs, bacon, mushrooms, sausages, toast, decent coffee. Not to mention the cakes.
Yeah, cakes.
Yes.
There's lots of ice creams floating around today, actually.
It was quite warm,
because
yes.
It was a bit warm for people.
We digress slightly from the main subject, but yes.
Yeah, loads of people trekking up the old castle. There's not really a lot there.
The ruins of the castle.
The ruins of the castle.
Basically, really, it should be called the foundations more so than the castle, because there's no castle hardly there left anymore.
No. But there you go.
We're visiting the ruins.
So... that was our overly exciting week. I don't think anything else happened much. I'm really just pottering along, gearing up for the Easter weekend.
We're in preparation for the beginning of the season ourselves, really.
Yeah. Had a bit of an interesting stock in this week.
It's
those nice candle burners, candle holders.
They're really nice.
Yes. And some really lovely pieces of malachite.
Oh, we've sold some already.
I know, it's flying out the door. I've got it in and it's on its way back out the door again.
Mm.
But malachite's one of those kind of crystals that just looks pretty as well as...
I like it, actually. I like
doing a good
the
job.
Effects and things in it. I think it's quite nice.
Yeah.
That's poisonous. It's actually poisonous. It's
in its raw form, yeah. It's toxic if you inhale the dust off it.
It's good to know, isn't it?
Yeah. I have a really big lump of the raw stuff in the cabinet, so if there's anybody comes in the shop I don't like, I might get them to sniff it.
No, I mean, yes, okay. Okay.
But hey. So, what did we do this weekend then, which is what we're going to talk about today, I think?
We did. Went to a very interesting evening, actually.
Yes.
Paranormal entertainment.
Paranormal
a bit like Hyacinth's Riparian Entertainment. Ours wasn't Riparian, which is Riverside. Ours was...
Airfield side, really, I think.
Very interesting, actually. Really, really, really.
Aeronautical entertainment.
Yes. Oh, dear. I don't know if you've got Hyacinth over there.
Keeping appearances. It's a comedy show.
Quite a strange, interesting English concept in entertainment.
We had a candlelight.
Very funny.
A candlelight supper of lovely ham rolls.
You did.
One, with aeronautical entertainment.
One was turkey stuffing, I think, or something.
I nearly had a microlight buzzer, swear it over the. Came right over the
top
of the.
Oh, that was a microlight. That was a glider. An engine, so it can't be a glider,
yeah.
Isn't it? Think about it, gliders don't have engines.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
It's a small plane.
Yeah. But, so, yes, for those of you who don't follow us on Facebook and don't know what the hell we're doing, we were invited by a pretty groovy group, I have to mention them. We will talk about them a bit more later, called
yes.
Soul Searchers Curno. And they're a paranormal investigation group based down here in Cornwall. And they do a lot of work out of Davidstow Airfield, which is probably, 10 miles up the road from here, if
yeah,
that?
Yeah, between 8 and 10.
Up on the moor. And they were up there this weekend, this Saturday night, doing some... data collection on their cameras, and they kindly invited us along to set up our cameras and see what we could get. Unfortunately, we couldn't do a live broadcast because, being that it's in the middle of nowhere, there's no internet connection.
No, we're working on that.
So,
we are working on that one. Hopefully.
Otherwise, we would have shared our joy with the rest of you, but we couldn't. So, but we are working on that because we have an open invitation to go back whenever and continue our research, which we started the other day. So, it was quite interesting. So, tonight we're going to talk about what went on Saturday night. That sounds a bit dodgy. And at the moment, we are watching the footage on a 58-inch TV whilst we're talking to you. So if you suddenly have a gap of nothingness, we've just seen something amazing and we're busy glued to the screen and we forgot you're listening to us.
That's possible. It's definitely possible.
So,
this is Davidstow Airport.
Davidstow Airfield. It's a World War II airfield.
It's not an airport. No, not really.
It's a bit of tarmac in the middle of nowhere. I just have to answer this question. There's one on the chat room. What is Lunar Orbis about? What are we about?
Everything paranormal, mystical.
Mystical, magical with a K, as opposed to magical without.
Yeah, we're sort of normal people that actually have quite interesting pursuits, really. We have a shop by day and paranormal investigations by night.
For those of you who don't know who we are,
We're based in Tadgill.
We're based in Tintagel in North Cornwall. We have an esoteric, hippy-trippy, new-age shop during the day where we sell incense and crystals, and we do aura photography.
We do.
We do crystal healing. We do rune card reading. We do everything.
Yes.
And then by night. We are paranormal investigators of a slightly more serious.
Yeah. Serious? Me?
Yes.
Yes, actually, we are very serious in what we do.
And occasionally we broadcast our venues through our internet TV channel, lunarorbis.tv. So the rest of you can watch it. But. We started out as para entertainment, just getting the cameras out and doing ghost hunts. And now we've kind of evolved a little bit and we're trying to move a bit more into research and experimentation and a bit more serious stuff.
Pretty much some stuff.
So we do a lot of stuff behind the scenes that obviously you don't see getting broadcast. We advise a lot of people on stuff. Because we've been doing this, how many years now? 2 years?
Yeah, 2 years officially as a business.
Officially as a business, 2 years.
But a lot longer than that, unofficially, but just learning about things.
Before that.
So that's quite cool, really. And I'm not getting a bit progressively increasing.
I'm not sure if Susie's comment of magical with a K was a question or a statement.
Oh, yeah.
She's got magical.
Is it a statement or a question? We're actually magical with a K.
Magical with a K because magical with a K is occult witchcraft taken from the Aleister Crowley sort of background because he started off the rage of spelling magical with a K.
As opposed to
magical with a C, which is, you know, hats with stars on and pulling rabbits out of things. And
which can be quite good fun.
Yeah.
But not what we're about, unfortunately.
Oh, Walter's just asked, what's the most terrifying case we've been on?
Ooh.
For you, what was yours?
Usually when you throw me in a room and lock the door behind me.
Did in the ancient ram in, wasn't
ancient
it?
Ancient ram in when you did that to me, you threw me in a really dark
room. I gave you a camcorder and pushed you through the door and shut the door and you went, scream if anything happens.
I think, to be fair, actually on that one, Bodmin was one of the ones that I found most scary at the time. The reason for that was when we first went out with Des. I don't know if any of you guys know Des.
Claude knows Des very well.
First went out with Des and we did a circle. And on this particular event, the actual circle we did, I connected to William and Bill. Both those two guys, one was a murderer and one was into sheep, to say the least, if I put it democratically.
A sheep lover.
And connected to those two, and at that point my teeth started chattering, my hands went ice cold, and I could literally feel William, who was the sheep person, trying to get through and talk to me, and William on the outside of the cell trying to get in. And that was the first time I've been connected to that level and that intensity, and that was a little bit on the scary side for me. because obviously I hadn't never been subjected to that much of a connection, really. But yeah, it was pretty cool though. Coming out of it and actually being able to describe it all was really quite intense. But that was Bobbin, I think.
Bobbin Jail.
For me, yeah.
Bobbin Jail is quite a freaky place in its own entity.
That was almost one of the first ones.
Freaky.
That we connected to that heavy level. Normally I sort of get tried to pull me out of the circle, usually. As you felt before, trying to hold me in there while these things are trying to pull me out. It's quite bizarre.
Yeah.
But they don't sort of faze me too much, that bit. Because we're sort of getting used to it, really.
I think
you've had rocks and stones thrown at you, which I've not had yet.
At Bodmin, yeah.
So, you know.
But then I grew up with it, so to me it would take a lot to freak the hell out of me, though. Because
you're not a freak, you've just got, you know,
stuff
it's sense,
that's happened when I was little.
It's a bit out of your comfort zone, really, when something like that happens, because, you know, you're not quite sure what's going on.
No, yeah. If you're not used to it, and
I mean,
never
if it happened now,
it
probably would be a little bit more able to deal with it without so much of a problem. Yeah, that was cool.
I think Woodchester Mansion always has a nice place.
It has a twang to it. I think, to be fair, if we get to go to the lakes, that's probably going to do it.
Yes, Woodchester Mansion. For those of you who don't know, so we have mentioned it before on the show, is a bit further up country from us, up in
Gloucestershire,
and it's an unfinished Gothic mansion right in the middle of nowhere. So the wind howls around it and it's, you know, pretty freaky. And most of the spirits that are in there are from the house that Woodchester Mansion was built upon, which was Spring House. So they're quite old spirits and they're very active. We've had a lot of auditory stuff in there. The Ouija boards, when we've done Ouija boards, have gone off to scale. Got a discount orbs because there's a lot of dust in there anyway.
Yeah, we have a fair amount of quite pretty looking orbs, actually.
For me, as a clairaudient, it's kicking right off in there.
Yeah, that sort of is slightly on the bewildering side sometimes, isn't it?
Not freaky anymore. I'm quite happy to walk around there on my own in the dark.
It's always quite warm.
I think when you get used to a place, you just don't get freaked out anymore. If that makes any sense. You and the spirits kind of recognise each other and it's like, it's just you again.
Well, yeah, familiarity really, isn't it? And of course, it's not with contempt with us, is it? Because we treat them with all respect.
Which is just what Walt has pointed out without me even looking at the chat room. The more you investigate, the more the spirits recognise you. And that is true, a sense of familiarity, yeah. We have that. I've actually had spirits in Woodchester Mansion now call out my name when I've gone in there, in the chapel. When I was sat in the chapel in front of one of our cameras on my own in the dark, and I was just sat there, and suddenly the housekeeper lady who walked around, she called out my name from the corner of the room, and I was like, ooh, hello.
That is cool. That's quite good, really.
So it happens. It's happened to the guys we were working with this weekend. The lead investigator, Bev, has had her name called out on EVP in several locations that she's familiar to, and she played some of the EVP back.
That's funny.
It's quite clearly, you know.
In the background, we are actually watching four of the channels out of the eight that we did broadcast. So, like I said, we're watching. At the moment, we're seeing quite a lot of orbs going through. The point we are really is with the four cameras is they're just turn the lights off really now and letting the room settle.
Yeah. So, as we were saying, this weekend, we did Davisstow Airfield, which is up on Davisstow Moor, and I'm not sure whether it's used much now. I think it's an emergency airfield if anybody has any problems. There's no active control tower there anymore or anything. And there's a Cornwall at War museum on site. And this particular airfield was used between 1942 and 1945. And it was mainly for sort of keeping an eye on the coast and nipping over towards France and just watching what everything was going on over there. So we didn't really know what to expect when we turned up because we'd never been up there before. So it was
I like it, to be honest, not to know a damn thing, as it were.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to have things in your mind subconsciously, but you'll be expecting it.
Yeah, we got asked by Soul Searchers, Curlo, which are a paranormal group that have been running since 2007.
Veterans now, though.
Quite established.
Veterans.
And they have military links, shall we say, so they're a bit clued up on what they're doing. They're right sussed in there. So they have their own quite groovy camera system and kit and everything. So we've had a chat with them before, but not actually worked with them. So we thought,
I enjoyed the way they all managed. They all work together. They've got that good solidarity, which is quite often you see it at some paranormal groups. You don't see that.
Yeah.
Even though they're all part of the same group, they've all got their own agendas, but they actually seem to get together really well, which is, I think a couple of weeks ago we did a discussion on like paranormal groups and how the connection with your members
were. I think it was last week or the week before, we were talking about if you were starting up a paranormal group, how you would choose your members.
Mm.
And one of the points was to potential people that want to join your team to pretty much loosely termed interview them before you take them on board, and then get them to come along to an invest, and they seem to follow that track. They've had a few. The first time we met them was at Bomb in Jail, and they were sort of loose to interviewing a few people on site then to join the team, and this time they were training people to set up their kit and everything.
Scary task, really, isn't it?
You've got a really. If you want people on your team, you've got to dump them in the deep end and see how they cope with it, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the best way to do it.
I really want them to try and do my job.
Get them along to a venue, see how they work with the rest of the team, see how they cope with possible things happening. Well, and
things always do.
Yeah, and things always do. And things did that night, Saturday night, when we were...
Quite a lot, really.
Yeah. So anyway, we turned up about 4 o'clock, wasn't it? Still daylight. Sun was out.
Yeah, but I think it's about 4:30 for us. Cause
and we set up eight cameras in there.
We had eight, yeah.
Spread them out around the main buildings where the museum is.
Yeah, we were in the crew cabin, and I think the furthest camera away was around about 70 metres. We had a couple of 70 metres and 60 metres, and most of them were around 30s and 40s. So quite far away, really, as the cable flies, really.
Yeah, and it was flying over that roof like nothing crawling. We're taking the mick out of military people who can't throw a cable over a roof.
I didn't do very good,
girls throw.
What we're going to do, I think, with Dave, when I've gone through all the 64 hours of video footage, really, then we're going to make a little montage up of all the best bits. And then,
Getting hot.
Oh, yeah, well, it's getting warm.
Got this coal fire going. In the summer, yeah.
So we're going to do a montage, I think, one day, and then we're going to broadcast it, try and get down to about 2 hours of what I call half-decent footage of where things are happening, and we're going to broadcast it. Some of it will be on audio, and some of it isn't, depending on which cameras we're picking it up.
Yeah.
I haven't been through the footage yet, to be fair, because there's so much of it.
We're watching a bit now.
Really.
Now, normally I watch the footage as we're broadcasting, but because it wasn't a live broadcast... I headed out and about and sort of... So we actually, at most points, had nobody watching the cameras.
No, that's what's interesting, so, because then what you're going to see. Because most of the group is together or in two groups.
Yeah.
Then we know pretty much that a lot of spaces there was nobody. And one area we kept, which was the bunker, wasn't it?
The air raid shelter.
The air raid shelter, that one...
Was our controlled environment.
It was a controlled one, and nobody went in there all night.
We had two cameras in there. And the door was sealed and nobody went in there.
And that one's going to be quite interesting to go through.
That
because
was our control one, yeah.
Nobody was in that one, right?
So basically we had, we'll just explain to people where we had the cameras and they'll have to sort of get a gist.
Try and visualise them for you.
We had two cameras opposite sides of the freaky room, as I call it.
Yeah, it's the officer's mess.
No, the officer's mess was the other building. Camera two. No, camera one is the new building.
That was the officer's mess, wasn't it? The old one.
Yeah?
I think that was the original...
No, that's a brand new building.
It's based on the original floor plan, though.
Yes, it's based on the original floor plan, but it's a new building they built over the top to reconstruct what it would have looked like.
I actually thought that was...
But camera two is the original officer's mess, with the servery in and the library.
I'm sure that they said that one, number one, was, and that's what...
Well, anyway, it's made to look like an officer's mess, because the main room has got this party... going on now. Anybody's familiar with military, the officers always have lots of parties and always drink too much and always get up to lots of so this is what this room is for. It's got a bar in it, a mock bar, and a party going on, and there's like about 30 mannequins in there all dressed in military officers kit.
Period time, isn't it?
Yeah, and obviously the women in the ball gowns. and you walk in there, and I freaked myself out. It's just like, these mannequins are so real. It's quite, I was stood leaning the other side of the bar and looking out into the crowd, and it was like, yeah. I swear some of them moved at a few points.
Definitely used to get little dark spots coming through, didn't we?
Yeah, Mark put this down to the fact that the actual uniforms they're wearing are proper military uniforms that people have donated over the years. So I think the energy that we saw rippling off the mannequins that gave the effect of the moving was the energy from residual energy trapped in the uniforms, because it was so intense in there, the air was really, really thick, and you could almost see that they were, you know, right in your face. And it got even freakier when the lights got turned out. Which is where we are now. We're looking at the cameras now. And there was those two particular mannequins right by the edge who were freaking everybody out. The bald guy with his girlfriend with the really big
eyelashes.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say something else, but yeah, you believe they were eyelashes.
Yeah. Well, I'm being diplomatic here and politically correct, which is very unusual for me.
Mark was joking because he said, I'm sure the bald-headed guy's like, give me the evil eye because I chatted his girlfriend up earlier. Oh, dear. But yeah, we personally set up two cameras in there, and the other guys, I think they set up one camera, two cameras, something like that.
In there a couple as well, yeah.
They had a couple of cameras in there as well.
Two in the corner, didn't they?
Yeah. And so that was where we had two out of our eight cameras. We also had another two cameras in what we were just arguing about. It was, I think, the original officer's mess. It had the servery and a couple of offices and a library type thing. And that's apparently, according to Bev and Jody from Soul Searchers, Kerno, has been a spot of apparitions and EVPs.
The library where our cameras come is the opposite end of the doorway, and then the other one we had going down the hallway that gets you to it.
Yeah, so we set up one camera pointing down the hallway along with their one or two cameras they set up.
Yeah, one in the hallway, one in one of the rooms.
One in the offices.
Camera on the opposite side further down that wasn't connected to their recording system.
And we had a camera in the library, and they had one pointing opposite way from us. So we captured the whole room, pretty much. And then we had, like I said, a locked off camera in the air raid shelter. We had two. They had one. We had one. And that was our control room. Nothing was going on in there. It was untouched. It was away from the rest of the building.
About 60 metres probably.
Yeah. Then we had a camera on the outside on top of one of the buildings looking out over the grounds.
Looking at the flagpole. Looking at the flagpole. I think there's Mark said that occasionally it's been reported that the sound of somebody pulling a flagpole up.
Yeah.
Not pulling the flagpole up, but putting the flag up.
Yeah.
And then we had one, if you remember, that faced into that, if you like, the bar area from the hallway.
Yeah. Then we had a camera in what is called the squash courts, but actually doubled as a morgue, apparently. And there's been quite a few EVPs going on in there. So we popped one in there.
That was bizarre, that one.
And they popped one in there as well. We had another camera out in the hallway pointing right down towards the room with the mannequins in. The freaky room.
The freaky room.
The freaky room. I think that was it. That was our eight cameras.
Sorry, our descriptions are a little bit vague and
you haven't got the foggiest idea what we're talking about.
Go with us on that. We like to say that as soon as I've got the 64 hours worth of video footage off and edited it out a little bit, we will actually do another broadcast showing you the footage and actually what was going on a bit.
Yeah.
A little bit more detail.
All I've got to say is you've got to imagine semi-derelict, because half of it's knackered. The other half has been turned into a museum with some most amazing memorabilia. And we're not just talking, you know, a couple of uniforms and a couple of guns. We're talking a great big bog-off plane stuck in the middle of the forecourt as you come in. A couple of big tanks and a few bits and bobs around. I mean, they've got some seriously nice stuff there. And so half of it's kind of derelict. The control tower is. The airfield itself is only used in emergencies. And the main buildings have been turned into a museum. And it's been reputed to have quite a few paranormal anomalies going on in there, shall we say. Mainly EVPs. Bev says that they've had a partial apparition, but unfortunately their cameras weren't recording at the time. It's always the way. That happened to us at Bob in jail, didn't it?
It did. Yeah. Oh, it would have been the most spectacular ever.
Yeah, in the table tipping room.
Seen that one.
Yeah, but there you go.
One day we'll have the camera on.
And so we sat there for about 12 hours Saturday night.
I suppose it would have been nearly 12.
It was. 11, we finished about 4 in the morning.
Yeah, 12 hours. We probably had cap recording about 8 of that, like I said, 8 or 9 of that.
But anyway, I think we'll put a tune on.
Put a tune on,
so everybody can get them.
Too boring for you. So if you've got any questions on the chat room, please do ask us.
Yeah, Walter's just talking about basements.
Basements.
The Bodmin Jail basement.
Oh, that basement. Oh, yes.
Well, not that one in particular. He's saying basement's quite freaky.
Yeah, that was our last visitation.
Bodmin Jail basement.
That was our last visitation. So dark, you couldn't see
it. That's kind of one place I wouldn't stay on my own in the dark.
I did.
Well, you're a man.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, most of the spirits in Bodmin Jail don't really go for the whole woman thing.
Oh, I think it's just that comment that you'd see me running from the building hasn't happened
screaming
yet.
Screaming like a girl.
Hasn't happened yet. You got upset because it hasn't.
Yes, yeah.
It's you that's more likely to run than me. What piece of music have you got on them?
If you hang on a minute. Let's see what we've got.
You'll go a little bit quiet now because you put the microphone down so you can talk. That's all right.
Hello. Right. I thought, anybody who hasn't listened to the show before, I like my loud, heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going back to Black Sabbath kind of feel.
Ah.
I think.
Which one?
No. This one is a cover done live by Metallica of Iron Man. It's quite heavy.
Uh-huh.
I was going to play Paranoid again, but I think people will probably get bored of that.
Maybe a couple of weeks.
We love Paranoid, but people get bored of that, so we won't. I'll play something slightly different. It's still Black Sabbath, but it's obviously Metallica doing a quite impressive cover.
Oh, I look forward to it.
Done a couple of years ago, totally live. So here we go.
Here you go. you.
Yes, we love Black Sabbath.
Such culture on the show tonight.
Such musical culture.
Ah, dear. Any more questions on the chat room for us?
No, everyone's talking about Metallica. Oh, cool. It's got to be done, hasn't it?
It's nice to see discerning taste, you know.
Discerning taste.
That's a good word this time of night for us, isn't it? Taste.
Yeah, so after that ear blasting interlude. We are back, Larry and Claire, Lunar Orbis, blah de blah, doing our usual, doing whatever our we do. I'm just going to mention, which I meant to mention at the beginning, but it slipped my mind before we started talking. I have to say, we've got some great products in our shop at the moment, some really good witchy products.
Witchy
products. Made by West Country Witches. Proper job, as they say in Cornwall. They make lovely wands, ogham sets, charms, talismans, all that sort of thing. You can get them via our shop, our online shop, lunarorbis.co.uk, or via their website, which I was going to mention at the beginning of the show and forgot, which is www.witchandwood.co.uk. I'll bung that up on the chat room in a minute because it's got a bizarre spelling. But I recommend everybody go and have a look because they've got some great products.
Cool site, actually. I've seen it.
Nice website, yeah.
Yeah, not bad. Considering.
They're also on Facebook. They're on Twitter. You know, if you can't find them, just go through our Facebook page, which I know most of you are on, and you'll see they're on there and on our Twitter page. You can't miss them. But they are really good, proper job witchy stuff. Well, I meant to say at the beginning, you know. But they've got some new products out that we haven't actually got in the shop.
What?
But
why not?
Because I've only just made them the last couple of days.
That's not a very good excuse.
I've only just handcrafted them with love and care.
Get and get it sorted. Yeah, we'd expected it to arrive 10 seconds after it was
made. I know. So anyway, tonight, what were we talking about?
We were talking about
our investigation of a World War II airfield.
Correct.
Yes.
Which in itself obviously could sound on the surface quite boring. So obviously it's an airfield. But I have to be honest, like I said, it's a fascinating place. The energy, the culture, the history, all of it. And it kept me, to be honest, it kept me on the seat of my pants quite a lot of the time because I'm used to certain types of paranormal places. But it's really cool, that place. And the energy is different, quite a lot different to what you'd expect it to be. You know, traditionally, when you go to paranormal places, you obviously expect that whole thing about picking up spirituals, manifestations. But there, because obviously there's lots of woodland around it and quite a lot of arable, you know, grass, but all that. There's a lot more nature spirits as well around there and things like
it
that.
It was a moor, David Stowe Moor.
Mm.
There is nothing up there for miles, so it was obviously grazing land, I suspect, before they decided to plant an airfield on it.
I think so. We are doing a little bit of research.
There was that funny tale that the guide, before she locked up and left us to it, was telling us about after the war, they actually had a German pilot come to visit the airfield because apparently a lot of the Germans could never find it in World War II. They were told to go and bomb it and they couldn't find it. So they actually come to see if it really existed, whether it was just like...
Well, in itself, that's good, though, isn't it? You know, if you've got an airfield that they can't find, that saves a lot of destruction.
I'm not surprised because when the fog rolls in, which it did Saturday night.
Oh, Camera 7 was
Sunday
brilliant.
Morning.
Oh, bliss. Oh,
it was like freaky.
You could see Camera 7 with the water particles like busting up against the camera.
It was freaky.
I will have to put some of that on there, like a few, you know, couple of minutes of that, because that's quite therapeutic, really.
Watching fog rushing at the camera.
Yeah, I actually did like it. I thought it was quite cool. It's a great, it's a lovely place to be. Still, you know, I think vastly untapped by us, to be honest. You know, one visit wasn't enough, really. So much more different times. It was nearly a full moon as well, which was quite interesting. So
yeah,
obviously that created a different type of energy, I think, as well.
Everyone was buzzing anyway from that. Maybe that's why the mannequins are going freaky.
It could be. You see, I picked up a young girl there, about 8, called Alice, I think. She was there looking for her lost her parents and looking.
I picked up Alice.
I think you got
her
name as well. So we did pick up a few things of interest anyway.
I was stood in the library in the officer's mess with the other guys, and there was a dark shadow that kept moving around the group.
Yeah, we had that one.
And at one point, it was like creeping right up behind me, and I could feel it trying to kind of get in. And I was like, nah, not having any of this kind of thing.
Because you can tell, because everything goes dark, and you're looking at someone, and suddenly they disappear. Yeah. It's like, where'd they go?
It was moving around the room, and it got quite chilly at one point. It was really warm out in the hallway, and as soon as you walked in there, it was like, ugh. But yeah, it kept floating around the place, and
so I think a lot to see and do, I think, and different another event really. We will try and get an internet connection if we can, so that obviously that you guys can actually see it, because we can't really do it justice, to be fair. You know, as much as we'd like to, we can't really. It's like trying to describe something that people can't see. We can't.
Yeah.
You know, we get probably getting it vastly wrong, really, but. The energy in the place was not so much of the spirit world as such, but the energy was quite strong.
There is a lot of, like I said, there is a lot of memorabilia. That was the word I was looking for earlier. Memorabilia in the place, and that in itself holds a hell of a lot of quite strong emotional residual energy.
Didn't do any psychometry, so we never actually had any. So,
I can imagine, I mean, you can imagine the stuff coming off of that.
That's true, yeah.
You know.
That's true. Yeah, because I think that's why the energy must be, the time zones and all things were confusing. Because obviously the rememberabilia, I say that slowly now.
Rememberabilia,
it was over a period of years, so the energy's different over quite a lot of years.
That's a good question, actually, Walt has come up with. Why do entities, if they aren't all bad, mostly appear as dark shadows?
Well, they don't always appear as dark shadows.
They don't to us.
But, I mean, there's quite a few different theories and conjectures on that. Some people think, obviously, that dark is evil. It could quite possibly be that, obviously, if a spirit is using energy, drawing everything out of the molecular energy in the environment, if you like, the free radical particles, it could actually make things look dark. Also, sometimes if you think when they go through, you get the cold spells as well, because they draw the heat out of the environment.
Maybe they just don't want you to see what they look like.
Yeah, they could be masking themselves as well.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one to...
This is the conversation we had on our Thursday night show. It was about the different colours in orbs, the spiritual orbs, not the natural orbs.
Yes.
We'll just make a point. Not the rain,
orbs, not the particles.
Not the raindrops and the dust, the 10% that are spiritual in nature, or anomalous phenomena in nature. They have different colours, and those colours are related to, we were debating whether it was the current emotional state of the spirit, or the emotional state when they passed over into that form.
So it was the vibrational level frequency they were running on determined the colour, as in respect to the rainbow.
Like the aura, if you're red, you're stressed, you're angry, you're upset. Yeah. If you're green, you're healing. If you're blue, you're chilled out.
That was one we weren't sure 100%. But if you know the answer to that, obviously tell us, because we'd like to know. But that was the theory we worked on, was that if you have a blue orb, for argument's sake, the actual vibrational frequency of it was obviously blue. Because that's...
Mm.
If you look at on the rainbow spectrum from one end to the other, it is just a change in the wavelength of the light source.
I'll go with that.
So maybe the spirit world operate on that particular wavelength, therefore...
Envious green, yes, that is...
We are
predetermined and predisposed to be polite to people about their auras. So we always pick the positive. We try and pick the positives out of people's auras, aura colours. We very rarely tell them the negatives.
I always point out there is them.
There are them, yeah.
I always point
but
that
we're,
out anyway.
we have to be PC, you know.
Yeah, you have heard the green with them. Like
we
still
have to
waters
be, but,
run deep.
But yes, a blue is also a sign of solitude and depression and neurotic and very withdrawn, as well as being calm, cool, and and green, yes, envious.
When I do my aura photography, we do get on the full one, print a 14-page report. And that actually covers quite a large range of information. And I always say to people, when you've got your aura colour, it has two meanings.
We do always call violet people ditzy, though.
Well, they are. But it's not.
They don't know their arse from their elbow.
I think it's more the fact that they live in a spiritual world, therefore they're always meditating and always connecting to the outer universe. So I think ditzy is probably a more endearing term, really, than
some things you could say.
Than anything else, because it is a character set for them.
Yes. I mean, envious, green, I'd go with that.
Yeah.
Jealous, envious, yeah.
But again, you can normally tell that because if you look at the aura photography in more detail, particularly on page 2, which is the front and the back, then you can actually see quite often the channels of green that go down through people and on areas that are actually being healed. So it's actually quite good for that too. We can actually determine healing areas and energy. So it's quite cool, really.
So there you go. Just saying orbs, different colours. Yeah. Apparitions, we've seen... They're not just dark mist, although most of the places we go to, that would...
Do seem to fit that criteria, but I think it's more because the energy in there is like
the
that.
The first apparition I ever saw when I was a teenager was black. But, you know, that could have been my own sort of energy manifesting into something. Because you know what it's like when you're a teenager, it's chaotic hormones, you're going nuts, you know.
So no, I can't remember.
You can manage. No, it's a bit of a long time ago for you.
Well, at least 20 years.
But then we have seen white mists as well, and red mists, which are, you know, red apparitions. So not always black. Most of them tend to be dark.
Dark is the thing, yeah, as you say. Sometimes they don't want to materialise. Other times it could be just that they're drawing different things out of the environment around them as they're going through the energy. They've got to go through the air, haven't they?
Yeah, this is...
And they can appear... People can disappear in front of you.
This is, the article I wrote this week, actually, for the UK BPA magazine, next month's magazine, Paranormal Watch, was about spirits getting from the fourth dimension into the third dimension.
Yeah.
And how they appear to us and how they do it.
Which, with theory, what was it? Some people in this day and age now actually are fourth dimensional beings anyway.
Yes, but that's a whole other show.
Oh, yeah.
And we've like just over 5 minutes left, so we're not going to get into that.
That could be a taster.
We might do that next week.
The theory on single, dual, triple, quadruple, and what's five? Fourth dimensional beings travelling through interspatially awareness.
Blah, 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 blah.
Maybe a bit of quantum physics in there as well.
Do that next week. We're just going to round up, really, just to say... this investigation was with another team. It was their kind of home territory. We were guests, I suppose. Just to say, in general, there are some amazing benefits to teaming up with another paranormal group if you can find one who's willing to team up with you. For a start, you know, sharing venues makes it a lot cheaper in the long run, because I don't know what it's like in America, but in the UK, some supposed... haunted venues are very expensive. They really do take the mick. And Larry's not listening to me.
I am actually. I'm just watching a bit of the footage at the moment, obviously, with people.
And if you team up with another paranormal group, you can share the costs of a venue.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Which is better. And then that brings into sharing your equipment.
And experience.
Every group has their own set of equipment.
Yeah, which is what we're just watching the laser lights go through. Was that you?
Yeah, that was me and my laser grid. So it's nice when you're with another team, you can see what kind of kit they've got, how they work with it, whether it's worth you getting that kit. You can share kit. Some people work with certain things, other groups don't. But it's nice to get a handle on some new kit, like the Frank's box they were using.
You learn a little bit about how the other people work.
Yeah.
Because obviously if you work in your own group, you get used to the familiarity of your own ways and the techniques you use. But you go with another group and you see something done completely differently. It gives you a new method of test procedures.
Yeah, and it's a good way to share skills.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know, if you use mediums, every medium works slightly differently.
Oh, without a doubt.
So, and on the technical side...
It's the same.
You know...
Different levels of knowledge.
Scientific technical teams... sort of have their own little way of doing things, and it's nice to see how another group does things, because sometimes you can pick up some useful hints.
I learned quite a lot.
And I mean, these guys, they were
really enjoyable.
I mean, these guys were right on the ball. I mean, they, how can you put it, they bring the whole new concept of team they're right there. They all know what they're doing. I mean, with our kit, we had a little bit more cabling, shall we say, for our cameras, a bit more kit. And at the end of the night, they were helping us pack our kit away. You know, they were there. They were, you know, they were helping us set it up. They were helping us pack it away. I mean, that brings a whole new concept to team, you know, and that's the way it should be.
Oh,
and I know in the paranormal world, there's a lot of, I don't know how you put it, a lot of, this is my venue, you're not coming here, that's my data, you're not looking at it, that's, you know, there's a lot of selfishness, I suppose, amongst groups, and a lot of competition. And
yeah, but not everybody can be in the same place at the same time.
We're all out for the same thing.
If you've got eight cameras going, you've got all of them set up perfectly in exactly the right place, and you get an anomaly appear where your other cameras, but your the other group that you're working with, they've got eight more cameras set in a different place. You might well pick up.
We're all out for the same thing ultimately. We all want to get that piece of proof that, you know, the spiritual world exists.
Oh yeah.
We all, so you know, it'd make life a lot easier if everybody just pitched in, and when you find a good group that you can work with, share your venue, share your data, share your kit. You'll get there a lot easier.
A lot quicker.
You know? And there shouldn't be this animosity out there, and there shouldn't be that between spiritual and scientific groups either.
No. You know? You need both parts. You need both.
But again, that's a whole new show, and we won't get on the rant of that one. But
yeah.
I'm just saying the benefits of teaming up with another paranormal group is it makes your venue cheaper. You can share your kit. You can take on new ideas.
More experiences.
You can talk about your experiences over a brew in the crew room. It's great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, our best bit of test equipment we've bought. Well, not even test equipment. Our best bit of equipment I bought this year so far is in the form of a great big electric fire.
Yes, and you need lots of heating.
Because you get so cold.
And I have to say to these guys, Soul Search, Kerno, they were great.
Oh yeah.
They you know, they had the tea and coffee on hand. They were making brews. Bev brought along some nice munchies. So we were all eating away, brewing up.
Yeah, it was all good. It was really good. I enjoyed very much working with them.
So what I'm going to do, I'll give you a link to their website if anybody wants to look at.
Remember, they've only got a show on this Saturday.
Yes, I was getting to that.
Yes, dear.
Have a look at their website. So I'll type it up on the chat room at the end of the show. Soulsearcherskerno.com. I think it's .com, yeah. If you want to have a look, they're doing a public event at David Stowe Airfield this weekend. It's £45 a ticket. And if you want to get on their website, you can contact them through there, or you can contact them through us if you can't find their website. windandorvis.co.uk. I would recommend you go along to this venue. It's over two nights, special introductory price, £45. It's well worth it. And they're a great team to work with, great team to go along and experience a good venue like David's. So,
it's
got to be done. And we're going to get booted off in a minute. After the show, I'll put those links up on the chat room. Just have a look, you know. They've got some great EVP on there as well from David Stowe, so people can check that out.
Oh, cool.
So there you go. So we ought to say goodnight before we get cut off.
We will say goodnight. Thank you again, Gus.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for participating and enjoying the evening with us. We hope that you have a good week and that we'll definitely catch up with you next week, and maybe we'll get some footage.
Same time, same place,
blah,
same
channel,
blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah.
Tuesday night, 6 o'clock.
And is Claude still awake?
I don't know. It's gone very quiet.
Very quiet out there.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Have a good week. Bye.
Okay, bye.